In the first half of 2026, did biotech venture capital raise $9 billion, or was it over $20 billion? Both figures were reported this week, and the difference isn't just a rounding error. It's a signal of a profound shift in capital, competition, and strategy. So where is the money really going, and what does it mean for your business? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're dissecting a paradox in the biotech market. We're seeing record-breaking investments and major acquisitions, yet at the same time, early-stage innovation is reportedly starving for cash. We'll explore how this bifurcated market is driving a global manufacturing gold rush, with billions being invested from Korea to Germany. We'll also look at key technology breakthroughs from Japan and China that are challenging Western dominance in next-generation therapeutics. Finally, we'll examine how AI is becoming a non-negotiable tool for clinical success. Okay, Troy, let's start with that massive funding discrepancy. One report from K38 Consulting says biotech VC funding hit $9.1 billion in the first half of the year, the highest since 2022. But another from BioBucks claims the total was $20.1 billion. What is going on?
Both reports are correct. They're just measuring different parts of the market, and that's the crucial insight. The larger $20 billion figure includes everything. The more conservative $9.1 billion figure reflects a market heavily skewed by a few mega rounds. Specifically, Isomorphic Labs, an Alphabet subsidiary, raised a colossal $2.1 billion Series B round.
So, one AI-driven drug discovery company is warping the entire market perception? What does that mean for everyone else?
It means capital is concentrating at the top. The K38 Consulting report highlights the real story for most companies. Early-stage funding, meaning seed and Series A rounds, has fallen to pre-pandemic lows. Investors are risk-averse. They're backing mature, de-risked companies with strong clinical data or a powerful AI platform, but they are hesitant to fund nascent science.
What's the direct impact for U.S. and European manufacturers in the life sciences space?
It creates a challenging environment for their smaller, innovative clients. These startups are potential customers, but they're struggling to secure the capital needed to move from research to development and manufacturing. This means U.S. and European contract manufacturers should expect a flight to quality. The well-funded biotechs will be stable partners, but the pipeline of new early-stage customers may be thinner.
And for trading companies and distributors?
They need to be laser-focused on the portfolios of these late-stage, well-funded companies. That's where the commercial action will be. It's also a signal to look for acquisition targets. A small European biotech with great science but no Series A funding is a prime target for a larger firm. Distributors should be mapping those potential M&A scenarios.
So, the actionable insight for executives?
If you're leading a smaller biotech, you must have solid clinical proof of concept data to get funded. For manufacturers and service providers, it's time to strengthen relationships with established, well-capitalized players and consider offering more flexible, milestone-based service models to help promising but cash-strapped early-stage companies bridge the funding gap.
This concentration of capital you mentioned seems to be fueling some huge manufacturing plays. We saw a DCAT report this week that the CDMO market is seeing a surge in M&A. What's the headline deal?
The big one is Samsung Biologics' planned acquisition of PolyPeptide Group for $1.8 billion. This is a major strategic move. Samsung, a South Korean powerhouse known for monoclonal antibodies, is buying a leading European specialist in peptide APIs.
CDMO, remind our audience.
Contract Development and Manufacturing Organization. These are the factories for hire that produce drugs for pharmaceutical companies. And peptides are a rapidly growing class of drugs, particularly in metabolic diseases like obesity.
So a Korean giant is buying European expertise to dominate a new drug category. That feels like a significant competitive shift.
It is. And it's not just M&A. The capital investment is staggering. Italy's BSP Pharmaceuticals is investing 200 million euros in high-potency drug manufacturing. Germany's Vetter Pharma is spending approximately 480 million euros on a new aseptic fill-and-finish facility. And in the U.S., Evonik and Grand River Aseptic Manufacturing are each investing $100 million to boost their API and sterile injectable capacity.
This sounds like a global arms race for manufacturing capacity. How does this affect U.S. and European manufacturers who aren't spending 500 million euros on a new plant?
It forces specialization.
You can't compete with Samsung on scale, but you can on niche capabilities. The PitchBook analysis connects this investment boom directly to the rise of complex modalities, cell and gene therapies, antibody drug conjugates, and radiopharmaceuticals. U.S. and European manufacturers must become best in class in one of these technically demanding areas.
And for trading companies sourcing these drugs or their components?
Your supply map is changing. Specialized manufacturing is no longer confined to traditional hubs in the U.S. and Western Europe. With Samsung's move, Korea is now a major player in peptides. You need to understand these new global centers of excellence and build relationships there. Market timing is critical. You want to secure capacity before it's booked out for the next 5 years.
So the key action for executives is what?
Assess your niche. If you are a manufacturer, you must invest in the technology and talent for a specific complex modality. If you are in procurement or supply chain, you need to diversify your supplier base globally and secure long-term agreements for these high-demand manufacturing slots now.
Let's talk about the innovation driving that manufacturing demand. We saw two developments this week, one from Japan and one from China, that really caught my eye. Let's start with Japan.
A team from Nagoya University and Fujifilm jointly developed a novel lipid nanoparticle, or LNP, delivery system. This is a carrier designed to protect and deliver circular RNA therapeutics into cells.
We've heard a lot about mRNA from the COVID vaccines. What is circular RNA, and why does this new LNP matter?
Linear mRNA, like that in current vaccines, is effective but degrades relatively quickly. Circular RNA, or cRNA, is a covalently closed loop. It's inherently more stable and can produce therapeutic proteins in the body for a much longer period. The challenge has always been delivering it efficiently. This new LNP system from Fujifilm and Nagoya University claims to solve that, enhancing stability and prolonging gene expression.
The implications being things like cancer vaccines or obesity treatments that might require less frequent dosing. What's the second development from China?
The FDA granted both breakthrough therapy and fast-track designations to an imaging agent from Noroi Bioscience called 68-GAL-NYM-096. It's a radiopharmaceutical used in PET scans to detect clear cell renal cell carcinoma, a type of kidney cancer.
FDA designations are common. What makes this one stand out?
This is the first time a radiopharmaceutical of Chinese origin has ever received breakthrough therapy designation from the FDA. It's a signal that Chinese biopharma is moving beyond generics and biosimilars into truly novel, high-value, and technically complex areas that can meet the FDA's highest standards.
How should Western manufacturers and tech companies view these two developments?
As a direct competitive challenge and a potential opportunity. The Japanese LNP system is a direct competitor to U.S. and European delivery platforms. European manufacturers who rely on LNP technology must now benchmark against this new system from Fujifilm. The Chinese radiopharmaceutical signals that a new, sophisticated competitor has entered a very specialized supply chain.
What about for trading and distribution?
These are new sources of high-value technology. Trading companies should be establishing contacts with firms like Noroid Bioscience and the Fujifilm Life Sciences Division. They represent the next wave of licensing and distribution opportunities. Don't assume all cutting-edge innovation originates in Boston or Basel anymore.
The actionable takeaway here seems pretty clear.
Absolutely. Western executives need to actively scout for technology in Asia. That means attending scientific conferences there, building relationships with universities like Nagoya, and tracking the pipelines of companies like Noroi. Your next big competitor or your next strategic partner is increasingly likely to come from that region.
Finally, Troy, let's talk about AI. We see it mentioned everywhere, but we saw a very concrete example this week of how it's being integrated into core strategy.
Yes. Japanese pharmaceutical leader Daiichi Sankyo announced a strategic collaboration with Tempus, a U.S.-based AI-driven precision medicine company.
And what will they be doing together?
Daiichi Sankyo is a leader in a class of drugs called antibody drug conjugates, or ADCs. These are highly targeted cancer therapies. The goal of the partnership is to use Tempus's AI platform and vast library of real-world patient data, genomic, clinical, and imaging data to discover biomarkers.
Biomarkers? So signals that predict which patients will respond best to their drugs?
Exactly. This allows Daiichi Sankyo to design smarter, more efficient clinical trials.
Instead of enrolling a broad patient population, they can select patients who are genetically predisposed to benefit from the ADC. This increases the probability of trial success and accelerates the path to market.
How does this specific partnership affect U.S. and European manufacturing and technology firms?
For manufacturers, this changes the game. As trials become more targeted to smaller, specific patient populations, demand shifts from mass production to smaller, more flexible batches. It also creates a new demand for companion diagnostics, the tests used to screen for these AI-discovered biomarkers. European diagnostic manufacturers, for example, face a huge opportunity to partner with pharma companies to develop and produce these tests.
What's the angle for trading companies and distributors?
The value chain is expanding. It's no longer just about the drug. It's about the drug plus diagnostic package. Distributors who can handle the logistics for both the therapeutic and its associated diagnostic test will have a significant competitive advantage. Sourcing these advanced diagnostic tools and platforms becomes a new and critical business line.
So, what's the immediate action for executives to consider?
You must build AI literacy within your organization. Your commercial and R&D teams need to understand how AI-driven patient stratification will reshape clinical trials and market access. And if you're in the supply chain, you need to start planning for the shift towards personalized medicine, smaller batches, more complex logistics, and the integration of diagnostics into your distribution model. This is happening now, not in the future.
All right, Troy, a complex week. Let's boil it down. What are the three key strategic takeaways for our listeners?
First, the capital markets have bifurcated. Big money is flowing into late-stage, de-risked companies, while early-stage innovation faces a funding drought. This means U.S. and European firms should focus on partnerships with established players and be prepared for more M&A activity among smaller biotechs.
Second,
the global manufacturing landscape is consolidating and shifting. Samsung's $128 billion acquisition of a European specialist is a clear sign that Asian companies are competing at the highest level in complex biologics. Western manufacturers must invest in niche capabilities to stay competitive.
And your final takeaway?
Innovation is no longer a purely Western game. We saw a breakthrough FDA designation for a Chinese radiopharmaceutical and a next-generation RNA delivery platform from Japan. Western executives must have a strategy for technology scouting and partnership building in Asia to avoid being outmaneuvered.
That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. The message is clear. The life sciences industry is being reshaped by concentrated capital, globalized manufacturing, and accelerating innovation from new corners of the world. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Be sure to subscribe to Troy Technical Intelligence wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss your weekly strategic update. We'll be back next week.